Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Flat Out. And before we get started, I'm delighted to say that we have a new sponsor in Opulence Thoroughbreds. It's fantastic to be associated with them. Thanks very much to them for coming on board ahead of Royal Ascot. And just a word as well, they've got 10 horses from the Breeze Up sales that have got shares available on the website. So do get involved with Opulence Thoroughbreds. Again, great to have them on board as the sponsor, the new sponsor for Flat Out. Right. Right. Without much further ado, let's have a chat about what we saw at York. And it's a bit of a sad first note in a way, Joey, because poor old Creative Force suffered a fatal injury. And he was, I know, one of your favourites.
Yes, Tom. It was a funny old week, really. We were speaking before, weren't we, about the watering of the ground, essentially, and the way things are going now with the horses being a bit more fragile than they have been in the past, and the need for watering, which clearly is something like the Clarks are just trying to match what the trainers are asking for, essentially. And the ground got progressively quicker through the week at York. And you know, it was a horrible incident. It happens in racing. We all know that. It's part of it. We wish we could eradicate it. I think we continually are doing more and more to try and make racing safer especially for the horses and obviously the jockeys involved. So we can always do more, but it was horrible to see. And especially from me, at my point of view, as I say, because I know the family well, and he was such a character. Godolphin John, as we'll still call him, documented his life so nicely on Twitter. The character shone through, and all of the progeny of Choose Me and Choose Me herself have a wonderful character, and I felt absolutely heartbroken to see that happen. So yeah, that was a sad postscript to what otherwise was another very good week of racing.
Yeah, very well said, actually, Joe, I have to say. And Jack, just to echo Joey's thoughts, I'm sure you will, you're a fan of the horse as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much more to add there, really. Just very sad. Big fan of the dam. Love all that family. Yeah, just really sad. A proper horse he was. Group one winner, and just never seen to run a bad race, did he? And yeah, very sad.
And Joey, was there anything else you
wanted to pick up? Just on the one thing that it just in general, when we're looking enviously upon Japan in the way that they are, you know, progressing as a racing nation, when you've got situations where Poetic Flair, who ran 8 times as a 3-year-old last year, seven of those in group ones, seemed to have legs of steel, is being bought by Japan to go stand at Shaddai in Japan. And, you know, we've got horses like Calyx, for example, getting off to a flying start here. Fantastic. But I mean, he had 2 pretty horrendous injuries in managed to get to the track 4 times in his life. And it just, to me, suggests the wrong direction in which we're going, allowing really sound horses to go and stand abroad when we're keeping cheap speed and trying to kind of keep the money flowing around the system. It's not the way that you'd want to see thoroughbred breeding progress in my book, but that's just a personal thought in general.
I think that's a really, really good point, to be honest. And yeah, very well said as well, Joey. Let's talk about the racing itself then, because it's a really busy weekend, once again, with the Irish 2,000 and 1,000 guineas over the course of a couple of days. And we've also got some cracking handicap action at Haydock alongside the Temple Stakes and the Sandy Hill as well. Before we get to Saturday and Sunday, though, Jack, I know you've got a fancy in Goodwood's, at least one of Goodwood's races on Friday.
Yes, not too much going on Friday, but the one I do like is in the Height of Fashion Stakes at Goodwood in 3:00. And it's a bit of a theme so far. I mean, I'll hold my hands up straight away. I kind of wrote off Soul Sister on the back of a bad run, and looking what Mustabshire did as well. They both bounced back after average runs, and then they've won very impressively. So I'm hoping that Inner Space, who was very impressive at the back end of last year at Kempton, can bounce back from a really disappointing run in the Fred Darling. It was quite odd that they dropped her back to 7 for that. I look at her and think, if anything, probably her best trip's going to be 10 furlongs. She steps up to that trip here. She's around about the 10-1 mark. Not everyone's priced up yet. So I'd probably put her around 7-1 is the lowest I'd go to. So I think there's a bit of juice in the price at the moment if you can get it. And I remember when I first watched that run, I thought, oh, there's your pre-Diane winner. I don't know if you boys remember, but I put it in the WhatsApp group, and that was way back then. She is actually entered for that race. So if she won here, I'd imagine they'll probably go for that. That's up the 18th of June, so there's a nice gap in between. And I'm hoping, as I say, she can follow the likes of Soul Sister and Mustabsha and bounce back. And I'd quite fancy her here if she's able to do so, yeah.
Well, it's funny on that, actually, Jack, because I remember the night that Inner Space won at Kempton, because I was there. Mm. And I remember there was a kind of a bit of a hush around, like we'd seen a bit of a star.
Mm.
He won so well. And then Rab Havlin, I spoke to him afterwards, and he was very complimentary about the filly. So I think you're absolutely right. We're yet to see the best of her. And as you say, with Soul Sister producing something completely different last time, who knows what Inner Space has got left in her tank. And I think she's definitely got more to come. So heartily agree with what you just said there about Inner Space.
They were very clear, you know, just from it. Soul Sister is the best of theirs on work. They do really like her. And she was clearly ahead, and that's why she was the only entry in the Musadora. Do you not say she was the 1,000 guineas winner, Jack? I don't know. Has this story morphed?
No, absolutely. I
thought you said that's the guineas winner. Or maybe no,
shame on you, because you are in this group and we can get through. And I absolutely said pre-Diane. French Oaks winner was actually what the word I said. So proof is there if needed.
We'll wait for the evidence to be produced. I do remember. I remember you said I might be getting confused with Nostrand, to be fair, which you did say was the Guineas winner when he won at Newmarket. I remember that. And obviously, sadly, he was a non on the day.
Well, just coming back to Calyx, you don't get many very sound Kingmans, do you, either, which is a theme that you kind of alluded to before there. Hopefully, you can. Well, the back end, you're thinking, oh, Kingman's really going to have a big season next year, but it's proven a little disappointing so far with horses being retired and whatnot.
Laurel Noble Style, two notable Kingman
commissioning
at the weekend as well. Commissioning was a Kingman as well. Is a Kingman.
Yeah.
Obviously off to be a breed mare now. Yeah, no, she's Kingman too. I mean, they've just got very, very slight legs, Kingmans. They just don't have much bone, and they are a bit susceptible to things going wrong. Unfortunately. But there we go. On to the next. Where are we off
all
to
that,
next, Tom?
Yeah. All that chat about the Nostrum Guineas hope leads us on rather nicely to the Irish version this weekend, and a pretty good racing prospect as well. And I'm delighted to see Royal Scotsman has been declared and supplemented, because he's a horse, as you both know, is very dear to my heart. And I thought he ran an absolutely mighty race in the Newmarket version, and I think they've supplemented him. Be interesting to see what you both think, because this race, on the face of it, is pretty weak. So you'd have to give Royal Scotsman a very good chance. Joey, what do you think about the race?
As you say, it's eminently winnable. I mean, I think High Royal, I mean, was he about 5-2, 3-1 at one stage during this week? I don't know. I'm seeing about 7-2 now, but obviously that's all going to reform over the next hour or so. I don't know. I thought he was probably one of the worst prices you could ever imagine for this race. I think Royal Scotsman obviously has a favourite's chance. I think he's eminently backable, isn't he, Tom? I would have thought for you, looking at that sort of price, 5-2, 9-4. Paddington isn't one that I'm, you know, that particularly wows. This is obviously the point where all Aiden's kind of second string turn up, don't they? In terms of being interested in one, I mean, one or two, the only two I quite liked were Jesse Harrington's two down the bottom. I thought, you know, that I think there's every chance in this race that you see Royal Scotsman be rotten keen again and pull around and be a bit of a hooligan. And in terms of will he be able to back up and run a race again of that quality, I don't know. I thought in general, as I say, the race was quite weak. I'm not a massive fan of Knight and Charon. And so I just thought Bold Discovery was probably the one that I was most interested in at 25-1. He's run a couple of decent races in defeat. He ran, I think he's probably looking for a bit of nicer ground, which he only got on his debut. And in sense of last time, he scoped badly after the race when he was behind Paddington. So it's a bit of a write-off job. And I really like Jesse Harrington. Obviously, he's an absolutely top-class trainer. And in sense, it's not a massive selection. I don't really have anything big in the race, but I wouldn't put you off either of her two running well. I mean, it won't be a tip, but I think that both of those I quite liked. And I quite like the way Kwa Shamar ran at Dundalk last time. I thought he looked like he had plenty of ability. But you can't really weigh up how good both of them are. But I thought at 16s and 25s, they were I might have a small interest splitting my stakes on those.
Yeah, a couple of really juicy prices there, Joey, I have to say. I'm going to stick with Royal Scotsman. I think this is his race to lose, and I'm hoping that they can just keep a little bit of a handle on his keenness, because he was keen at Newmarket, and I know that he has been keen in some of his recent work as well. So hopefully they can keep that freshness and those exertions held in until the end of the race. Jack, you've always been a rather a loud lambaster of Royal Scotsman. Are you with him or against him?
I wouldn't be so much against him as last time. He did run a lot better than I thought he did. I just have this nagging feeling that he's just going to be better over seven. And I think that's a fair assessment, obviously, how hard he pulled. Curragh's a bit stiffer. If he runs like that again, there's just no way he's going to be able to sustain that. And with the second, third and fourth, obviously, he was third in the Newmarket. Again, he's the obviously High Royal and Galeron. There's not much to separate them on that, obviously. The obvious eye catcher was Royal Scotsman. If he learns to settle, Jamie Spencer should. Well, he's an interesting jockey booking on that front. Obviously, you'll hope to switch him off. And I don't know. He's one of these horses I don't think I'll ever warm to, really. I think I mentioned one of the last episodes. I think the race for him is probably the Prix Jean Pratt. You would even think about maybe the Jersey Stakes, but you've got to run the Group One. I assume he'll go to the St. James's Palace. They probably wouldn't even have run here, to be honest, if Al Riffa hadn't come out, I don't think. I think this might have been a little bit of an afterthought and thought, oh, well, this is our chance. Let's go for this. It doesn't look a vintage renewal, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won, I'll be honest. And in terms of a betting point of view, I don't think Paddington's done too much wrong. I think he's a big player. But in terms of of actually putting anything up, I'm very happy to sit this one out. It looks a trappy, competitive race, but not one to really get the juices flowing for myself, personally.
Yeah, very fair enough there, Jack. I think we're going to have to give you some French lessons on the pronunciation of Prix Jean Pratt, to be honest. But
Prix Jean Pratt.
Nicely butchered once again.
Thank you.
Right, let's move on to the rest of Saturday. We can discuss the Irish Guineas, 1,000 Guineas, in a few moments' time. But there's a big day of action on Saturday in this country, headlined by Haydock, some good stuff at Goodwood and at York as well. We're not going to go through every race because that would take a long, long time. But let's try and pick out some featurettes and some highlights that we're keen on looking at over the course of Saturday afternoon. Joey, start with you. What has taken your eye on Saturday?
What probably most took my eye is the 2 mile Nell Hook handicap from Haydock would probably be where I'd start. You kind of the max we can. I've been waiting to see him get some nicer ground, and you know, like, he's one of these horses that just really needs it's properly spicy. I mean, we can't have any juice in it whatsoever, and he finally gets that at Haydock. It's slightly concerning that he's been there and he hasn't exactly run to his best before. But I mean, I'm not too concerned about that. You know, he's been behind Sir Ron Priestley there. I mean, it's a while ago and they're off fairly high marks. Whereas now he is down to 93. He's only 1 pound higher than when he won really impressively at Ascot last year, being going gone half a length. And I just think that, you know, he's waited to be really competitive here, and with the ground back where he likes it, I think he'll take a fair amount of beating. So yeah, he'd be my selection in that contest, the 150 from Haydock on Saturday.
Nice one. I'm going to put one up against you in that. And because Fennel Cross has come out, unfortunately, probably means that Carzola, at least either she or Law of the Sea, is going to be favourites. But I've been very taken with Carzola in her short career so far. Two wins over this trip at Lingfield on the all weather. The second of which she only got up late in the day, but showed some nice stamina to do so. And she's a very progressive filly. And when she went to Doncaster in horrific ground last time, it says soft in the description, but it was dreadful. It was a horrible day. She was really the only one who went through it with any zest. And she travelled all over her rivals and won very, very easily indeed. And it wasn't the easiest of races. It was trappy, but she did handle conditions better than the others. She's now up £10 in the weights. I think it's probably deserved. Faces different conditions on Saturday, but she strikes me as a filly that Rafe Beckett is going to do very well with. And let's not forget, Rafe is operating at a fantastic strike rate at the moment. He's had 12 wins the last couple of weeks, 27% strike rate with all his horses. and he's always best with fillies. This race has cut up. We saw that Carzola likes a small field. She won with four runners last time. She also ran one against three rivals at Lingfield in her first handicap victory over 2 miles there. So a smaller field plays to her strengths. She's got that tactical speed. And I think as long as she can cope with this faster ground, which I think she will have no problems with, I think she's handled soft as well last time. She's quite versatile. I think she'll be fairly difficult to beat in that. But very much hear what you're saying as well, Joey.
Don't let Rafe hear you say that he's always best with fillies. He's that'll have his head blown off in the usual style if he ever hears you saying that.
Well, hopefully he's not going to watch this video, but yeah, I can imagine that would annoy him. But it's true, though. He has such a good record with them, you know, and bringing them on slowly, like Carzola has been brought along. So, yeah, I think she's going to be a filly that he hits heights higher than she is currently ascended to. Jack, let's talk about your fancy on Saturday, or one of your fancies at least. Where are we going?
We're going to Goodwood for my best bet of this whole podcast episode. And that's in the 2 of 5 with Tafrige, William Haggis, three-year-old. It's probably not a surprise it's a Haggis horse, I know. But this horse is, near enough top of the list for the Britannia for me. He clocked a really good time at the back end of last year at Yarmouth to kind of bookend the season. He showed progression on each start, winning there quite nicely. And that was over 6 furlongs. And he steps up to 7 furlongs here as well. And he reappeared over 7 at Newbury. Sorry. And that was on soft ground. And when Newbury gets soft like that, it can be quite testing. I can forgive him there finishing third. He's been unmoved on a mark of 84. And I just think he's really well handicapped. His dam's a full sister to Gruda. So he's actually going to get better the further he goes. A mile's going to be no problem in time. But I think 7 for now is fine. I'm hoping he can win here en route to the Britannia. I think he's just very, very well handicapped. And I'll be disappointed if he's not going close in this field.
Okay, excellent stuff. I'm going to go to Haydock, actually, from Goodwood. And
if I could just interject just quickly there, yeah, Tom, just in the fact that your Cowliffe will be interesting there as well for our new sponsors. We want to keep an eye on, certainly, because, I mean, that was an impressive win last time. And maybe he doesn't want the ground quite as rattling as he might get the weekend. But it'll be really interesting to see how he goes. He's a really nice progressive horse, I think. So
I like the way he won last time, I have to say, because it was quite a really good race.
You thought he was going to be pulled up at halfway.
Yeah. I know. Showed a really nice attitude.
Yeah. Sorry. Carry on, Tom. Goodwood.
I'm going to go Haydock actually for my big fancy of the day and of the weekend. Really, is a horse that I put very much in my notebook at the end of last year. It's called Bedorgan for Charlie Hills. He's been given an opening mark in handicap company off 87, and you might remember he was steadily progressive at the back end of last season. He ran third at Newmarket on his second start over 7 furlongs, and then at the end of October he got that win on the board, and he did it pretty impressively as well, winning by 4 1/4 lengths in those famous silks, Julie Martin and David Martin, the blue and yellow halves. And the interesting thing about that race at Newmarket, over 7 furlongs, was that the second, Miltai, has since won, and the fourth, Skeptic, has also since won, and Eye-Trap back in eighth has also won. So the form is fairly strong, you'd have to say, for a novice, particularly at the back end of the season at the end of October. Now, Bodogan steps up to a mile now, which I think is going to really suit him, because the further he went, the better he looked at Newmarket last time out. And although he's had that long break, hopefully he'll be raring to go for this. And he has been declared for the Silver Bowl handicap, which is a 100 grand handicap. He also had an entry at York for a £20,000 race. But the fact that he's going to Haydock, I think, suggests Charlie Hills thinks a fair bit of this horse. And I do think a mark of 87 could have been harsher, given how well that form in behind has worked out. So hopefully on that step up to a mile, Bodorgan can make a winning reappearance and confirm my belief that he's a smart prospect in the making. So keep an eye out for him throughout the course of the season and on Saturday as well. And Joey, have another one from you?
Yeah, I mean, I am denied about this, and he's been very expensive to follow, but Twilight Calls is going to have to be up again for me. I don't think he really, really relished being on the wrong side of the track and in the soft ground at Newmarket last time, I really do think he ran really well in this race last year at Haydock. He'll be back on good to firm ground. Kirby holding him up, and he travelled into it beautifully and just didn't quite get up. And about a yard after the line, he was ahead of the Queen's horse, King's Lynn. I think he wants this nicer surface. I think he can produce it. He ran his best race of his career behind Nature Strip last year on good to firm ground. He's got that again at the weekend. He's got two fillies in there ahead of him that are making their seasonal reappearance. And as much as he's been very expensive to follow, I do think this weekend will be the day that we get in front with Twilight Calls. And I'm not going to get off this train just yet. Even though I probably should. Even though I probably should. I love this horse. I absolutely love this horse. But yeah, you know, we go in again. What can we do?
No, absolutely fair enough. It's a cracking race, actually, in prospect, isn't it? With the Platinum Queen and Dramatized in there as well. Three-year-olds. Jack, come to you next for your thoughts on anything else on Saturday.
Well, I just add my thoughts on Twilight Calls. I've got off at the last station, you know, before the ticket inspectors come round. Yeah, I'm not as forgiven as Joey. I think it's actually a really good renewal. I'd be quite interested to see how Royal Acclaim will run. Obviously, she looks so impressive, and she was on the wrong side in the Nunthorpe. And I wouldn't be surprised if she kicks on again this year as a four-year-old, bigger and stronger, and the vibes have been good from Tate. And I would probably take on the Platinum Queen, but I'd be a bit more fearful of like the likes of Royal Acclaim, Dramatized. The jury's out whether she'll be as good this year. But I'm not sure about Twilight Calls. I was really disappointed. Obviously, he was on the wrong side, but I think that was just because the pace was so ferocious on that near side. Obviously, he helped amplify that, and it was a disappointing run from me for Twilight Calls. And I can leave him now. And if he goes and wins, it wouldn't be a problem to me. I'd happily let him go this time.
I'd be hopeful you get an each way price though, and I think he's very likely to place.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure what price.
I could see him drifting out to maybe 6-1 potentially.
Possibly,
those fillies will be quite popular. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all right. In terms of anything else on the Saturday, just come back to the Silver Bowl that Tom you mentioned. Again, that's a really good trial for the looking onto the Britannia. And I'd be quite interested to see how Royal Cape does. He was very impressive at Windsor the last day there on soft ground. Again, that was probably amplified and why he was able to win by 10. But I thought he was letting quite lightly off his mark now. And William Buick's jocked up, which is obviously a top booking. And I think he offers a bit of value. He was around 10-1 before Dex. He'll obviously shorten up now. But if he's still an each way price around the 6-1 mark, I'd be happily getting on board there because he created a really good impression. And I'm afraid I'm taking you on. And what is it now? 2-0, and hopefully it'll be 3-0 after this. But no, Royal Cape, I think he just looked a really progressive type. And again, I mentioned Half Rouge was one for the Britannia, and hopefully I've got two bullets going into the race if Royal Cape can go and win.
It's a long road to the end of the season, Jack. Pride cometh before a fall. So we'll see how it ends up towards the end of the campaign, okay? good stuff from you, mate, there, I have to say. I want to give a quick shout out to Happy Romance in that race and the Temple Stakes, that is, because she's a filly I've always loved, apart from anything else. But if you look at her form of the past, arguably a career-best run from her, or at least one of them. She's run some fantastic races, obviously, loads of different courses. But one of her best efforts came at Haydock in the Sprint Cup in September of 2021, which was just beating the length. In fourth, and she won last time at Bath in good style over a trip that doesn't suit her best. That was over 5 furlongs. That was obviously a weak grade listed company, but she comes in this in good heart. I think returning to this track is going to really help her, and she showed that she got that pace for 5 furlongs last time. So hopefully Happy Romance can get a nice toe into it and run well. She wouldn't be a selection on my part, but she's an interesting runner. I'm going to go very quickly to Goodwood, actually, as well, because I have got a horse that I'm looking forward to seeing. Again, wouldn't be a selection, but definitely keep an eye out for this horse throughout the course of the season. And that is Courage Mon Ami, who runs in the 310, the mile 6 furlong Tony Barrett Memorial Handicap, class 2, 0-105. For John and Thady Gosden, so far, this horse has won 2 from 2 a Kempton mile and a half novice in fantastic fashion, five-length victor, then went to Newcastle over just half a furlong further and beat Sea Gifted six lengths, sent off 11 to 2 on. He said he had two runs and has been given a mark of 98, which I think is probably going to prove lenient in time. He looks like a proper group performer in the making. And it really did make me smile, I have to say, because I was looking through his entries and he's got an entry in the Ascot Gold Cup over 2.5 miles. And he's only had two starts so far, son of Frankel. So I thought that was an interesting... That's not something John Thady Gosden would just do willy-nilly. So I think he's definitely worth keeping an eye on this horse.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. Strong case made.
Thanks. let's go on. And Joe, you got anything else for Saturday, or should we move on to the Guineas on Sunday?
No, let's move on to Sunday.
Okay, lovely stuff. Let's go to Sunday then for the 1,000 Guineas. And yeah, I think it's probably a little bit more straightforward a puzzle potentially to solve than the male equivalent on Saturday. And that is primarily because Tahira is running in the race and is 7-4 on. So on form and as far as the market is concerned as well, Tahira looks the one to beat. Joey, do you think there's anything that can get close to her in that race?
I think it's interesting. I mean, it would be, I don't know when you'd go back to when both the Irish 1000 and English 1000 could look so much better than the Colts equivalent at the end of it all. I mean, this looks teed up for that, doesn't it? I don't have a massively strong opinion. I mean, I think Tahira clearly is the classiest of them. As I said on the podcast previously, after the Guineas, she looked to still have a bit of her winter coat. I was surprised seeing her in the paddock that Dermot Well decided to run her in the English version, just because of the fact that she just didn't look her absolute best. But she must have been working very, very well, obviously, for Dermot Well to have brought her over. The only thing that really jumped out to me is that there was quite a differential between Tahira and Meditate. And I know Meditate was disappointing last time, but I don't think that she really wants soft ground. And so back on a firmer surface, I wouldn't have those two quite so far apart in the betting myself. I don't know what you would think about that yourself, Tom.
I think that's very fair, to be perfectly honest. I would have Meditate shorter. I do think Tahira is going to win, to be honest. And I'd be very,
you've
very
never seen her. Never seen her on a. You've never seen her on a surface quite so fast as this, have you? You've only got three starts to go on. Does she really deserve to be 7-4 on?
Yeah, and I suppose you're.
I mean, it's
going
to be good to firm on the day, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be. And I suppose you're getting your biggest clue, aren't you, from her debut? But it was only her debut, and that was good to yield in grand. But she was just too good anyway that day. So you're absolutely right. You make a really good point about being unproven at the top level on that kind of ground. And it does give Meditate more of a chance of getting her own back, because obviously Meditate has got that Breeders' Cup form. She loves it fast. I just feel that Tahira's got that star factor, something that I wouldn't necessarily apply to Meditate, even though she's very good filly. 113 rating would tell you all that and more. Jack, what do you think about the race?
I think it's very simple. Yeah, Tahira just wins. And it was a little disappointing she couldn't go past Morge in the Guineas. I'm happy to put that down to whatever needed the run first time up. Well's horses weren't in the best of form at the time. I think he'd only had one winner, which was the day before the Guineas as well. Just looking here, he's had five winners from his last 12 runners. The stable have surely turned the corner now. And with that run under her belt, I'm just expecting to see, you know, this will be the real deal from her. It's a weaker field than Newmarket as well. And I'd be very disappointed if she doesn't win and win impressively. Yeah, I think there's no point mixing it up. Meditate was no good for her at Newmarket. She was well beaten, and this is a stiffer track. The more I've thought about with her, I think she's a weak stare over the mile. And yeah, Tahira for me, I can't see past her at all.
Great stuff. It's a weekend I'm really looking forward to, I have to say. Love this weekend, particularly as it's in the lead up to the Derby in the Oaks the weekend afterwards, which is always just a great time of year, isn't it, really? Any other points of order, chaps, for this weekend, or are we all selected out?
I think that's it in terms of selections. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see how the horses go in the Tattersalls Gold Cup. And we obviously don't have the decks yet, but if Bay Bridge runs, I look, obviously Joey as well, but we love this horse. Luxembourg, Anmat, Buckaroo could be an interesting one at a price there, but I'd be very interested to see if Baybridge runs. He could well just wait for Royal Ascot, though. That's the only thing. And obviously Desert Crown this evening, he'll be very interesting to see back. Hopefully he can come back victorious. Not sure what you think, Joey, but what do you think?
Well, really excited to see Desert Crown back. I mean, I think obviously he'll be a very warm order and will likely win. In terms of Baybridge, again, the ground would be a bit of a worry for me against some classy rivals. I mean, I really like Anmat. I think he'll be one that could potentially turn him over there. So I would keep a real eye on him. Baybridge would be one, personally. I just don't think it's worth keeping him going when there's no cut in the ground myself. I'd just keep him away and save for the rest. Save for it. Hope, like, build him up towards the Prince of Wales. Hope you get a bit of rain. But after that, pull stumps and come back for the autumn. Yeah. Because for me, it's just he is vulnerable to a horse like Anmat in a race like this. Or obviously Luxembourg himself. But Anmat would be the one that most interests me if he did turn up and Baybridge would come and make the market for him. So other than that, just a quick shout out to, what was the fella's name, Jack, who said about the grey, answered our question about the grey horses?
Obviously, we asked the last grey horse. Damon Moffat commented, he gave a plethora of information. Obviously, there's four he mentioned. So, again, any interaction's great. So if anyone's got any strong fancies, get them down in the comments below. You can also follow us, obviously, in the description. We've got our Twitter profiles. Any strong fancies, again, coming over the weekend, I'm sure Joey, Tom and I will be putting them on there as well. So that'll always be updating as well. So. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, one more response from myself to a fella that raised a very good point about what I said about an heir to Galileo on last week's episode. And just to be clear, that as fair as he brought it up, he said that Frankel, obviously, why are we talking about an heir? Because Frankel's there. Well, the difference is that, you know, Frankel himself was obviously the world's greatest ever racehorse, and he has had all the best mares since he retired, coming from all around the world to be bred to him. And he said he basically has all sorts. Galileo was still chuffing along when Frankel was around as well. What's left is this kind of who's going to be the heir to the Derby. Who's going to, because every year you'd have half the field by Galileo. And if you just look at them this year, you've got the likes of, you've got Australia, Frankel, you've got Churchill's, you've got Roaring Lions, Ulysses. So you've got it's a very competitive budding market as who's going to be that next Derby style. Whereas Frankel is getting, you know, likes of Chaldean, quite a smaller, tighter model that's going to go win the Guineas, can win over seven. So just, you know, as much as it's a very fair point about Frankel, I think it was more of a wider point about who's going to be the Derby sire. And I think that if you go through and look at the pedigrees of all the horses in this year's Derby, it's clearly very open as to who's going to replace him. So, just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, always an intriguing side plot, isn't it, to the big race next Saturday. Gents, thanks very much. Looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to all the action, Group 1 action once more. It is the most wonderful time of the year. All that's left for me to say is please be gamble aware. Gambling should be fun at the end of the day, and when the fun stops, stop. Gents, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Been a lot of fun. All right, we'll see you all next time on the next episode of Flat Out.